Hi, everyone. Welcome to Packers Unscripted from Packers.com. I'm Mike Spofford, sitting next to the one and only Wes Hodkowitz. We're coming to you here from our studios at Lambeau Field. And Wes, Packers Buccaneers Sunday noon Central Time kickoff at Lambeau Field is almost upon us. Our final show of the week. And that means it's time to talk keys to victory. And as always, we will start on the offensive side of the ball. What do the Packers and Brett Hundley have to do in order to win this ballgame?
Well, first off, again, much like last week, you have to protect the football. But You also have to build on that too, Mike. I mean, the Packers got off to, yet again, another fast start. It's something that has been a common occurrence here with Brett Hundley at quarterback. They've really been able to develop yards and, in most cases, points on that opening series. But I think one thing that Pittsburgh Steelers game showed is you can never have a let-up, especially at that level of competition. Now, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are not on the same plane as the Steelers in terms of their competitiveness or their record or the production of their overall team. But that being said, I thought the big takeaway from that game against the Steelers was there was a little bit too much difference between the series in which they produce points and produce yards and then the three and outs and not being able to capitalize on takeaways.
It's kind of an all or nothing scenario on every possession.
So if you get those opportunities, if the defense gives you the ball, it's time to be able to take those opportunities and really, you know, turn them into momentum.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think momentum is a big thing here. I think if there's a game for the Packers to really establish a rhythm, a consistent level of production on offense, this is the game to do it. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are last in the league in yardage allowed. They are last in the league in passing yardage allowed. This is the game where it needs to come together for Brett Hundley in this passing offense, in my opinion. Now, that being said, Gerald McCoy, he's a, you know, he's a heck of a play wrecker in the middle of that defensive line. This Tampa Bay defense also has a number of turnovers. You do have to focus on protecting the ball and not let them make those kind of plays. But you said it, Wes. It's about establishing some level of consistency to be able to move the ball, to not have these wild ups and downs of you get a touchdown drive and then the next one is a three and out. You get great field position, but then you go three and out. It's about establishing that momentum for four quarters, and the Packers need to do it against this defense in their home stadium.
Yeah, and I think a big part of that, too, is getting that run game going where, you know, you have Jamal Williams. It sounds like, you know, potentially they may have Aaron Jones. They know they will not have Ty Montgomery in this game. Mike McCarthy confirmed on Friday. So whatever combination there is there, whether it is Jamal Williams being the predominant back or whether they can get some snaps out of Aaron Jones, time will tell. But I thought one of the things that did go really well for them against the Steelers is they ran the ball to open up the pass. That was the blueprint for when they had success against the Bears. They brought it back, and it allowed Brett Hundley to get in comfortable throws, manageable situations. And he made some big plays off those opportunities, particularly when you mesh those together with the 54-yard screen pass for a touchdown. Those are the back-breaking type plays that I think you need early in this game against the Buccaneers because they have had struggles. They've given up big plays. They are last in the league in total yards allowed. And also another reminder too, Mike, they haven't had a bye now in 10 weeks.
Yeah.
So these are the opportunities I think the Packers need to be able to really seize and start to try to get some momentum here going into the month of December.
Yeah, and as we've talked about also earlier in the week, this is Brett Hundley's second opportunity to build on an individual strong performance. He didn't do that coming off of the win in Chicago. He had a tremendous fourth quarter, made some great clutch plays in that game. Then played that clunker against Baltimore the following week. It just it wasn't what you were looking for there coming off of such a good game, certainly. Now he bounced back from the clunker. He played a really solid game against the Pittsburgh Steelers, against a very, very good defense. Now he has to build on it. Now it has to be that, as the coaches like to say, the stacking success for Brett Hundley at the quarterback position. And this is a tremendous opportunity against this defense, the way they have struggled, especially the way they have struggled to stop the pass. You've got them at home. The Packers trying to defend their home field after three straight losses at Lambeau Field. Now's the time.
And I'm not taking anything away from Gerald McCoy, a tremendous player, an all-pro type defensive tackle in this league.
Absolutely.
That brings it every single week. But as I talked about earlier this week, Mike, he has 5 sacks. That leads the Buccaneers.
That's one-third of their total. They have 15 as a team, and
exactly,
he's got 5 of them.
The outside rushers, the pressure's not been there. What Brett Hundley needs to be able to do, trusting that offensive line, which is going to have a second week now, Mike, to work together, that same starting five with Jason Spriggs at right tackle,
right,
they need to take what they did against the Steelers and transfer that into this game. Give Brett Hundley the time he needs. Allow him to dissect the defense. And allow your playmakers, Davante Adams, you know, and Randall Cobb, Jordy Nelson, to gain that separation for big plays downfield. If you do that and protect the football, that's a litany of things. That's a laundry list of things.
Yeah.
But that is really what's going to allow the Packers to get that first victory they've been seeking from Lambeau Field in some time.
Yeah, no question about it. And there are plenty of keys to victory on the defensive side of the ball as well. We'll get to those after the break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford here, Wes Hodkowitz over there, and Wes, shifting gears to the defensive side of the ball and the keys to victory for the Packers. I'll start out here because I'll be honest with you, Wes, this looks like a really, really difficult matchup for the Packers defense. Jameis Winston is coming back off of missing three games. They shut him down for a little while with that shoulder injury. So the Buccaneers are going to have that, you know, that lift, that extra juice from kind of getting their leader back, and a guy who you know, definitely has a ton of talent at the quarterback position. And then you look at this receiving core. DeSean Jackson can run like the wind. Mike Evans and the two tight ends, Cameron Brate and O.J. Howard, all 6 foot five or better. You couple that with the fact that Kevin King has been ruled out for this game for the Packers. Demaryius Randall is on the injury report, though we don't know exactly how serious or not serious that is. This is a difficult matchup with this passing game. This is a big challenge for the Green Bay Packers, and they're going to have to, in my opinion, they're going to have to really, really try to avoid giving up those chunk plays, because if Jameis Winston starts to get the kind of momentum with his big targets that we were talking about with Brett Hundley trying to establish momentum for the Packers, this could be a tough day for the Packers defense.
One reason I really like the signing of DeSean Jackson the offseason for them is because it gave them the perfect counter to Mike Evans, who's a guy that's just going to gut you repeatedly over and over again with what he can do as a pass catcher. DeSean Jackson's sort of the home run hitter in that group. I almost look at him as the cleanup guy to Mike Evans' number three spot. And the reason I say that is because you can put all your attention on Evans and trying to contain him, but then if you leave Jackson in a one-on-one type situation, he can take the top off of defense and get downfield for a big gain. Now, it hasn't quite worked out the way for them this year. They third in the league in passing yards, but it hasn't translated to victories. So going into this one, yeah, the secondary is on notice here. It's going to be big on HaHa Clinton-Dix and Morgan Burnett and the healthy cornerbacks the Packers have to take care of business. But I do really look at that pressure package, the linebackers, the edge rushers, the guys up front. Jameis Winston is not a guy that's going to be sacked a lot. He's usually, I think, his biggest sack total this year is like three in a game. So don't look for 7-8 sacks, but they need to turn the pressure up on him. They need to get that internal clock, you know, moving just a tick faster, because that's really where you're going to be able to have the most success against this offense, is not allowing him to sit back and find those weapons, because they are going to get open. You can't give them 3-4 seconds to get open. They will find holes in a defense.
Yep.
The less time you give Winston to be able to find them finding those holes is going to be how you're going to have success.
Yeah, and this is where we talk about the front end and the back end for the Packers on defense needing to play in sync in a sense. And when you look at, you know, the 16 missed tackles against the Pittsburgh Steelers last Sunday night, if the plan here for the Packers, and I'm not saying I know what the game plan is, but if the plan here is to get after Jameis Winston a little bit and, as you said, speed up that clock and make him get rid of the football, right, then you've got to be able to make tackles, because if he's getting rid of the football quickly, that means the passes are going to be shorter. And if the passes are going to be shorter, you get those tackles right away, you avoid the big plays. You avoid the 20 and 25-yard chunk plays that can really damage a defense. We saw this earlier in the year when the Packers had that really bad tackling game against the Atlanta Falcons. They came back the following week against Cincinnati, and I thought their tackling was much, much more solid. they need to do that again, because you can't be up in the double digit range of missed tackles, especially against a guy like a DeSean Jackson, for example,
right,
who you miss one tackle on him and he could be gone. The Packers, they know what they need to shore up, and they've got to get it done.
Yeah, you don't want to let him shift gears, because once that happens, that's when you're really in trouble for those big extended 20, 40 yard big plays that can really, you know, be backbreakers for a defense. From a positive standpoint, the Packers' run defense has been exemplary since the bye week. And even last week, I know Le'Veon Bell got some yards, but considering they didn't give up a carry of more than 14 without Kenny Clark, huge boost for them, I thought, to be able to wage that battle. The problem is they gave up too many yards there, and they gave up too many yards in the passing game. One or the other, you're going to be okay.
Yeah.
This Tampa Bay run offense is not anywhere in the same stratosphere as what Pittsburgh was.
Yeah.
Doug Martin was suspended earlier this year, as we talked about earlier this week, hasn't really been able to get into a groove yet. Rodgers hasn't really been able to seize a number two spot there for them. Packers need to keep defending the run well in this contest. And actually, as strange as it sounds, force, you know, Winston into those third and long situations and force him to pass the ball, make them one-dimensional, and allow them to do the work from there. But to your original point, Mike, whether or not it is in the trenches, whether or not it's in the stretch zone plays or just yards after the catch, the tackling needs to be better. The Packers know that. And I think this is a matchup for them coming in to really be able to stress those fundamentals and be able to turn things around.
Yeah, when you look at the matchups here, with Kevin King out of the game, just give me your conjecture maybe. How do you see the Packers trying to match up with Mike Evans and with those two big tight ends, Brayton Howard? Who do you think are the guys who are going to, for the most part, maybe get assigned those duties?
Well, Morgan Burnett and Josh Jones are probably going to be looking at those tight ends, depending on what packages they want to use.
Yeah,
if
I would agree with you.
Looking at Nitro, then you're probably going to be seeing Burnett with them. If you're looking at Burnett playing more of the traditional safety, it could be, you know, Jones doing some things. We'll have to see, speaking specifically at, like, their dime package.
Yeah.
But that has kind of been the blueprint. I thought Morgan Burnett has done a terrific job against, you know, elite-level tight ends here the last 2 years in that hybrid spot. His matchups with Jimmy Graham are things for, you know, a film room, and to really dissect is how to succeed in those kind of matchups. The thing with Evans is that, much like a week ago with Brown, he's going to get targeted.
Yep.
So how do you handle that? You know, and do you travel a guy with him? Would you travel a Devon House? I'm not sure. Josh Hawkins would, on paper, be the guy that would replace Kevin King. So how do you handle that spot? You know, and then really it comes up to probably Demaryius Randall seeing a lot of DeSean Jackson, depending on how they line up there. But Jackson's another guy, too, that could go inside, outside. A lot for Dom Capers, Joe Witt, and these defensive coaches to think about for sure. I don't know if I even answered your question, but I rattled off a lot of possibilities.
Yeah.
I think
there's a chance that we'll see a lot of Demaryius Randall on DeSean Jackson. I think there's a chance we're going to see a lot of Devon House on Mike Evans, granted in certain situations with some safety help over the top as well. I think this is a game that Devon House needs to come up big for the Packers.
Yeah, and I'm just curious if they travel him. He's healthier now. That was one of the reservations earlier this season.
Right.
Just with the lower body tissue injuries, they're really hesitant to do that. They haven't done it a lot this year. I will be very interested to watch those first two offensive series for the Buccaneers and how they defend against them.
Yeah, definitely. With that, we'll go to a break. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford in this chair, Wes Hodkiewicz in that one. And Wes, a little bit of news to pass along here from Mike McCarthy's Friday press conference. He noted that there's a chance that quarterback Aaron Rodgers could return to practice on Saturday, which is the first practice he's actually eligible to come back with the six-week rule with injured reserve. And we know that the first game Rodgers would be eligible to play in would be the Carolina game in Week 15. But you just wonder, as the Packers obviously need to get a winning streak going, they need to get some momentum going for a stretch run if they're going to make something out of this season. You wonder if seeing number 12 back on the practice field on Saturday might just be that boost of morale, you know, lift the spirits a little bit as you go into a game that you absolutely have to win.
I think it can be, Mike, because I think back, and although they did not win that game the Thanksgiving week of 2013 against the Lions when Rodgers came back to practice, There was an uptick after that when they played Atlanta, when they played Dallas, and although they didn't win even that Pittsburgh game, I think that reality that there is that light at the end of the tunnel. And again, not to say that Brett Hundley hasn't done a fine job. I think considering all the things working against him, he's been able to keep the ship afloat and at least be in the conversation that these are winnable matchups for the Packers, especially against a team like the Steelers. But at the end of the day, Aaron Rodgers is Aaron Rodgers, and he's the best player in the game. So for those guys, if he's back out there, and again, we'll have to wait and see how this all shuffles out, but if he's back out there these next week, 2 weeks, I can't see how that can't be a carrot for this team. And just a reminder that there's still a lot to play for in trying to keep that window open to the playoffs in what would be a almost unprecedented, I think, 9th straight playoff appearance.
Yeah, and another guy who talked about that in the locker room on Thursday after practice was Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, yeah. And he spoke a little bit about just, hey, if we can get these next couple of wins, you get Aaron Rodgers back, this thing can really start to turn around. And he also talked about his own play in that respect as well, that he's he knows the questions are out there. You know, where's the Pro Bowl safety from last year? How come you only have 2 interceptions? Where are all the big plays? And he says, hey, you know, he feels like he's doing his job out there. He's playing well. He feels like the ball is not coming his direction. He says the quarterbacks, they know where he is. They know where he's shaded this way or that way, and they're staying away from him. And, I give Clinton Dix a lot of credit because what he said there is something that he can take a lot of criticism for,
yeah.
Because there are a lot of people who are going to say, well, you're just making excuses and this and that. You and I have talked to Ha-Ha several times for different interviews, and he's a pretty straightforward, pretty genuine guy. And so I'm going to take his word for it on this, that the opportunities to make the plays that he made last year have not been there. But one thing that he said is he's not going to try to chase plays and get himself out of position,
yeah.
And compromise the entire defense just because I'm Ha-Ha Clinton Dix, the Pro Bowl safety, and I admire that attitude about
him. Yeah, and it's something that Darren Perry constantly preaches with those safeties. And I understand some reservations people might have with comments like that because, you know, it's naturally for people that are wanting to defend themselves. But I challenge you, go back and watch the post-game locker room footage of Ha-Ha Clinton Dix's interview after the Baltimore Ravens game. The media threw it out there for him like, hey, talk about the interception. Really impressive what you did there against Woodhead. He answered it with, I think, 2 or 3 words and then immediately turned his attention to, yeah, but it's that one I missed,
yeah.
Is the one that bothers him and the one that
yep.
stays in his head. Ha-Ha Clinton Dix is willing to talk about when he is not playing bad, when he's not playing well, or if there's something that didn't go according to plan for him. So when he talks, when he says this, I think there's a lot of water in that. I think there's a lot of salt in that he's able to actually talk about, in, I thought, a very constructive, progressive way with, you know, members yourself and some other members of the media about really rationalizing and explaining his play at the safety position. Because here's the thing, Michael, this isn't like tackle. This isn't like some of these other spots where it's just so glaring when a guy is in a one-on-one situation, you know, a cornerback getting beat off the line or a receiver, you know, beating somebody upfield, a running back making a guy miss. I've always found the safety position so fascinating because there's just a different level of play involved with it in terms of what the assignment is and what guys are responsible for. At home, you can't just sit there and go, well, that's a bad play. It's bigger than that at the
yeah.
safety position because there's so many different things that they're having to take into account.
Yeah, and there's so many things going on out there that we don't know. Now, just to clarify, Ha-Ha Clinton Dix was not standing at his locker with this small group of reporters that I was a part of on Thursday and saying that he's played perfect football, that
right.
he hasn't made
yeah,
any
he
mistakes. He's
missed
not
tackles.
Saying that.
Right.
He knows he had a couple missed tackles against Le'Veon Bell against the Steelers. We talked about the 16 missed tackles the entire team had. It was something that was plaguing the whole team. He knows he's had a couple of plays where he's had some letdowns this year. But what he was trying to answer is that everybody's wondering where are the interceptions, where are the big plays, and he was just trying to say, hey, you know, I'm doing everything I can. Sometimes the ball just doesn't come my way.
Absolutely.
Yeah, all right. With that, a little bit of sponsor business, Wes. Almost forgot again. But picture this. You and a friend are sitting VIP in plush leather recliners watching the Packers on the 50-yard line at Lambeau Field. Nice picture, isn't it? Well, if you enter Cousin Sub's Best Seats in the House promotion, you and a guest could win a chance to kick back on the 50-yard line in style. 2 pairs of lucky Packers fans will be chosen prior to each home game for this VIP experience. Enter daily now through December 11 by completing the entry form and submitting. For complete rules and eligibility, go to packers.com/best seats. Cousin Subs, we believe in better. Back with more on Packers Unscripted right after this. Welcome back to Packers Unscripted. Mike Spofford alongside Wes Hodkiewicz. And Wes, we're almost out of time, but in terms of the rest of the league schedule, if you want to be paying attention to these games that maybe would help the Packers in their playoff prospects, should Green Bay get on the winning streak that that the Packers need to get on, you're looking at three games. You're looking at Minnesota at Atlanta, Carolina at New Orleans, and Philadelphia at Seattle. You're looking for the Falcons, the Seahawks, and the Panthers to lose, because those are the teams that are in this wild card hunt, or at the top of the wild card hunt right now, that the Packers are trying to get themselves into. I think the Minnesota-Atlanta game is a very intriguing one, maybe the most intriguing game on the schedule this week.
Yeah, absolutely. I just want to point out, too, I'd be remiss mentioned, also good for the Packers that the Dallas Cowboys won on Thursday Night Football, with them holding the tiebreaker over them, depending on how playoff situations would go. You're absolutely right, 100%, Mike. There are so many games in this with playoff implications, but as you've been stating for some time now, the Minnesota Vikings, you want to see them be able to pull off some victories here, especially against those teams that the Packers don't have the tiebreaker against. So it's going to be a great matchup. I think it'll be really fun to watch. We won't really be able to see it, but I think those two teams, seeing how they play off one another, will be really interesting.
Yeah, I think if Minnesota goes into Atlanta and beats the Falcons in their building, I think all the talk about Minnesota possibly having the entire home run, you know, home streak through the playoffs and to the Super Bowl could actually become a reality.
Yeah.
People really start talking about it seriously.
For
so,
sure.
And quickly, Big Ten championship game, Badgers versus Buckeyes on Saturday night. Who do you like?
You got to go Bucky.
Yeah.
I mean, I think Wisconsin, this is such an exciting time. Haha, Clinton Dix was joking around. He loves Wisconsin. He loves the Badgers, but he is sort of hoping that Alabama squeaks in there. I know there's a lot of guys in that locker room, Vince Beagle included, that are hoping the Badgers can pull it out.
Yeah, it should be quite a showdown in Indianapolis there. Two of the top two teams in the Big Ten for sure. So with that, we'll call it a wrap on this edition of Packers Unscripted. Be sure to follow all of our coverage of the team on Packers.com. On Twitter, he's at Wes Hodd. I'm at Mike Spofford, at Packers for the team account. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. See you next time.